Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joey and Gozo TV on this beautiful Sunday night, July 19th, 2020. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this podcast. Talking today about my biggest regret of the last 10 years. My greatest and biggest regret over the last 10 years, and what am I doing to get over some of these things. So, but before I start this episode, make sure that you share this broadcast with your friends. Make sure that you text and WhatsApp or Facebook message all of your friends and send them to this particular episode so they can also learn and enjoy Gozo TV and the Trick Podcast of Joy. Make sure that you also leave me a 5-star review in iTunes, because it helps this podcast to get in front of more people. So going back to the theme of today, you know, every one of us has regrets. And for me, I would say my regret isn't anything that I haven't done or anything that I should have, a job that I should have taken or a relationship with a friend or something that I should have kept. I definitely also don't have regrets in terms of my personal life or my love for my beautiful wife or our children. But I would say that the biggest regret has been for me to give into anxiety and to not catch it early enough, to give into anxiety and to let that affect some of the goals and aspirations that I've had. And even though I've been in counseling for 10, 15 years, and I take medication occasionally, and I also, of course, pray, and I have many spiritual directors and mentors, even though I have, you could say, done better the last 10 years, at the same time, I can honestly say, as I feel like I'm coming out of this season, that I wish I would have maybe had better tools, perhaps, that I would have maybe in some ways the balance of being patient with myself and just letting God heal me as he has. But then I guess maybe sometimes I do regret not pushing myself more. And even as I say that, I almost hesitate to talk in those terms, in terms of what I should have done, because perhaps I wasn't ready. So let me give you a little bit of background on anxiety and this kind of stuff in my life. So for the first 30 years, I hardly dealt with anything. I was very focused and very success-driven, not really trying to be huge, meaning a huge pastor, a famous musician. I was just simply loving God and doing what I love to do. But then I would say in my 40s, so maybe the last, 8, 9 years, anxiety somehow got a hold of me in a whole different way, in a whole new way. I began to experience not just sort of like, you know, panic attacks or anything. It really hasn't even been that. It's been more afraid of people, afraid of losing my job and, you know, getting fired from different jobs that I really wasn't any good at, having different people really just criticize me very violently, I would say. All those things happened the last 8, 9 years, and they truly surprised me. They shocked me. I thought, why are people so against me? And then, as I said, I began to experience what I would call anxiety, but I think the more I think of it, it's just I began to feel very afraid of failing, afraid of people. And even though, of course, I know the Bible says to not fear man, I began to give in to fear of what others may do to me, mostly in terms of financial concerns, of job loss, and then feeling that I'm not really a great anything. And so it, kind of this whole fear began to set in to overcome some of those fears as I am now. I am very familiar with a book called The Making of a Leader by Bob Clinton. He was a professor of mine at Fuller Seminary, as well as Joseph Campbell's very popular Hero's Journey. And both of these, I guess, maybe their maps or these symbols or these journeys, they talk about how every human goes through a season. Sometimes it could be a year. It could be, in my case, 8, 9, 10 years, where the person, the hero, goes through what they call the abyss, the Gethsemane, the what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul, the season where all of the things that you used to hold dear, they no longer exist. All the ways in which you used to function in the world, all the things that you thought about yourself. I'm a very kind woman. I'm a very compassionate man. I'm a very strong individual. Something happens in your life over a series of years. It could be financial problems, health issues, issues in your marriage or with kids that strip away all that you thought of yourself. And you go through a season where your identity no longer works. Your identity as someone who is strong or who's someone who's very smart, it all falls apart. And we go through this metamorphosis, this transformation from the hero of your first half of life, or maybe even your quarter half of life or quarter life, into this next person who goes through this death in many ways, this rebirth, this transformation that is very painful, that is very long. But on the other side of this transformation, a new person emerges, a much kinder, a much more Jesus-centered person, a woman of the Spirit, in a whole new way, in a much deeper way. And maybe that's really what I want to say in this episode, is not that I regret not being strong enough. I think humanly, that's kind of how it feels. But I would say that spiritually, or maybe how God sees it, it's more of Him stripping me of my identity to make me new. Now, what was my identity? Well, in one word, it was successful. It was a star of the show. It was the man on the platform with a guitar and a voice from heaven that would fill rooms and pack, I don't know, yeah, churches. And then the last 8, 9 years, it's been crickets. It's been a long desert experience. It's been my own journey through the Red Sea and Mount Sinai and the wilderness that at times has felt completely hopeless. Other times I have blamed myself for everything. And most of the time it has felt like I had no security to stand on, even though I, of course, prayed and trusted God, but I couldn't get my bearings. And I'm still coming out of that. I'm not through it completely. Maybe I'm halfway there, 90%. I don't know. I do feel like I am making progress by the grace of God, not by trying to be strong or by learning the right things or by acting different, but by trusting God. And really, I would say, by Him just stripping me of everything and yet finding within me His presence. This morning for church, I talked about Matthew 6, where Jesus is baptized. But the part that hit me the most is when Jesus hears from heaven His Father's voice that says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I love the Spanish translation. It says, "In whom I have much gozo." He heard that His Father enjoyed Him. His Father enjoyed Him. You know, we know our parents love us, but do they enjoy being with us? Isn't that what we all want? Don't we want for people to actually want to be around us, to actually like us? That's really powerful, and that's what Jesus heard. And I think, and I thought, if Jesus Himself needed to hear the voice of His Father say, "Not only do I love you, Son, but I enjoy being with you," how much more you and me? And maybe that's what this desert experience has done for me. Really, it's just to hear once again what I always knew. But somehow in this journey of faith and of walking with God, I maybe lost my way for these 8, 9 years. And I wonder if this losing of yourself is a constant journey. I wonder if it's maybe like going around the wagons, you know, circling the wagons until we learn the lesson. I have a feeling that that's how life works. That's how God works. But when we finally listen to the Father's voice, and when we hear that he loves us, and I think maybe even more powerfully, when we're stripped of everything that we once held dear, when we hit bottom, like the alcoholic that finally comes to grips with the fact that he or she cannot heal themselves, then salvation is near. And maybe that's what's happening to my life these last few months, these last maybe a year or so, is God is saving me once again back to himself, back to knowing that I am the beloved of God, that there's nothing I can or cannot do. There's no degree. There's no weight loss or weight gain. There is no big church or empty church that can separate me from the love of God. Not just theologically, not just in terms of heaven and hell, but in terms of today. My identity is in Christ. I now, more than before, sing and preach for Jesus, not to fill rooms. I now, a little bit more than before, I don't fear man the way I used to. Now, don't get me wrong. I still have those moments where I think that today I'm going to get that email saying, you know what? You really are the worst person ever. Get out of here. I mean, you know, that those are some of the panics that I have felt for years. Those nightmares that have come true at times. Those things have happened. And when we go through trauma like that, and then it taps into childhood stuff with immigration and losing my grandmother, being alone, it taps into some of that stuff. The devil can get in there and paralyze you. And that's what these last 8-9 years have been about, but also about gaining my strength once again in Christ and not in my ability to sing or preach or fill rooms. Not in my education or in my winsome smile, but in trusting God once again, the way I used to, the way we did the first half of life. But because of God's grace, I believe, we go through that prodigal experience. Not that maybe you left God, but when you left, completely surrendering your life to Jesus, completely depending upon God. And I wonder if this lack of dependence is part of the journey. I mean, you think of Peter, you know, he, for those few moments there, he left his Savior when he denied Jesus 3 times. We obviously know Paul, you know, that for the first half of his life, he persecuted the church until God got a hold of him. Obviously, we know David, he went through difficulties. Elijah, Nehemiah, Jonah, all of the greats, even Jesus, as I said, he had his Gethsemane where he said, Lord, can I not do this? Is there any other way than to go to the cross? And yet he said, not my will, but your will I do. And that's exactly what we all need to go through. I believe that my Gethsemane has just been longer. And it's not uncommon. I was listening to a lot of other creatives and empaths, a lot of people, you know, that are like you and me, that are entrepreneurs and that want to do great things in the world. And I have this friend who also has a podcast, and she was talking about 8-9 years of this similar experience, this desert experience, and she's just beginning to come out of it. And I felt understood. And so maybe I hope that my story is one that encourages you to not give up, to persevere, to know that God is at work in your life, no matter how difficult it may seem, how you keep bumping up against the same problems, how you think you're still that failure, or you're not really growing in patience, or you're still that angry person. No matter what lies the enemy throws your way, I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God is doing something great in your life. He who began a good work, says Philippians 1, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He is not done with you yet. No matter if you're 25, 35, or 65, God is not done with you yet. I do think that there are a few things that we need to be aware of. Number one is, if God is knocking on your door, meaning trying to point something out in your life, listen to it. Number two is, make sure that you talk to someone. Some of the things that have helped me is to just have podcasts, spiritual guides, mentors, friends that have been through similar stuff tell me I went through that as well. And then third is to keep moving forward. Don't let the lies of the enemy defeat you. Don't let the lies of this world tell you that you're the anxious type, that you're too kind, that you're too angry, that you are too much of a perfectionist, that you are so exhausted and that you'll never get any help. Don't listen to those lies. The Lord is your help. He is your Savior. He's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will come to save you. Even if mother and father, the Bible says, deny you or leave you, the Lord will never leave you. Even if your husband or your wife, your kids, even if they walk away, the Lord will never walk away. And of course, our family loves us. But we understand what the Bible means, or what it says, is that we need to put our confidence in God. I love how Psalm 70 says, my confidence is in the Lord. He is my Savior. He is my stronghold. And when it comes to fear of man, if you struggle with that as well, you know, you're afraid of your boss, you're afraid of your husband, you're afraid of your own shadow, I want to remind you, the Bible says, do not fear those who cannot harm your spirit. They may be able to harm your body, but they cannot destroy your spirit. Only be afraid that your name is written in the book of life. Fear, anxiety, frustration, overwhelm, anger, all of these things, shame and feeling unworthy will tell you that you're not good enough, that you need to be afraid, that you need to make sure that you protect yourself at all times because men are bad and people are evil and your boss is out to get you and you can't trust anyone. On the other hand, God says, you can trust in me. I will come and save you. And there are great people in this world. There are good people that want to help you, want to support you. Churches and spiritual leaders and your husband, your wife, your kids. You have mentors and friends that love you, that support you. Open your heart to them. Listen to your heart. Listen to the Spirit of God. Find that support. And most of all, know that you're going to get through this. You know, just in closing, as I said, these last few weeks, these last few months obviously have been very unique with this pandemic, which I call an opportunity. I call it an opportunity because of where I've been the last 8-9 years. This is an opportunity for you and me to surrender to Jesus, to sink deeper into what he thinks of us, that you are fearfully, wonderfully made, that you are the beloved daughter, you're the beloved son, that you don't have to fear surrendering your identity, your freedom, your plan that you had. You can let go of all of that stuff and give it over to Jesus because as Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you. God has a plan, not to harm you, but to bless you, to give you a future and a hope. I remember just the last story years ago, my mom was here visiting. And I went into her room and began to cry and said, Mom, who am I? I was maybe, 46, 45? A grown man with success everywhere, you could say. But in my heart, I didn't know my worth. God was stripping me of so much. And I said, Mom, who am I? You know what she said? She said, Son, you, first of all, are my son. And second, you are the son of the living God. You're a child of God. And you don't know how much that touched me. But I have to confess that even in that moment, you know, it hit me and then it went away. That truth, I just wasn't ready. I kept, as I said, you know, just going, circling the wagons, going back to my old ways of saying, well, if I can only just fill this room with people, if I can just, you know, make sure that everyone is happy, then. And I wasn't ready, even though that seed was planted, I wasn't yet ready. And yet this week, these last few months, with all the stuff that's happening, I can honestly say that that message is getting through. That message that I have known my whole life, that message that I had in my 20s and 30s, that I lost in my 40s, is coming back to life, is becoming clear, and it's becoming more my song of deliverance. I am the beloved one of God. He likes to be with me. He is in the front row as I'm up singing or preaching on stage, and he's saying, hey everybody, that's my son up there. Hey, look at him. Aren't you proud of him? You know what? You may not be, but I am. I am so proud of him. Do you realize that that's how God sees you? That that's the view that God has of you? Now, you may not need someone to applaud you, but you may need someone to strengthen you. Do you realize that even if you are imperfect, even if you don't do everything right, that God is your righteousness? Maybe you're not someone who needs to be perfect, but you're someone who just needs to know that you're loved. Do you realize that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God? Not husband, not wife, not man, not a boss. No one can separate you from the love of God. Do you realize that the love of God is greater than even the ocean? Maybe you're someone who's afraid of the next shoe dropping, of you losing your job, of you losing your health, of you losing your mind, of you losing everything, your husband, your kids, your grandkids. Do you realize that the Bible says that if He takes care of the lilies and the birds of the sky, that He will surely take care of you? Do you realize that He is your peace, that He is the Prince of Peace, and that He's for you, not against you? These are the messages and the stories that I know that God wants us to learn. Surrender to Him today. If you're still in year 1 or 3 or 5 or 9 of this journey called life, of this journey called this desert experience, don't give up. I'm with you in this journey, and we will not be shaken. We will get through it. Thank you for listening. My prayer for you today is that you will know that God is for you, not against you. Thank you for listening. Make sure that you share this broadcast with your friends. And I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.